I want to get into the word, though, here and just remind you all. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, so you can turn your Bibles there. But I just want to remind you all, men and women of God, that you are all, you are under an apostolic anointing in this apostolic house, which means that you are called to go to greater heights, which means that your prayer lives are going to soar as you take seriously the calling and the anointing that God has placed you in. He's placed you in this house for a reason. And for a purpose. And so with that reason and with that purpose, you will see as you really take seriously where God's placed you and really go into prayer and really go into prayer and say, Lord, I want to see what that looks like in my life. And you start to pray into that. You're going to start to see that there is such a call of God and the authority of God in you and upon your life that when you walk into a room, there is situations that change, circumstances that change. And you carry, and it's because you carry the fiery presence of God's anointing. And we need to know this because your lives, each one of us, our lives, they so matter. It's so important what God has done and continues to do every time we meet, every time we gather together. We worship, we praise, we give him our all. He fills us. What is the filling? But unto something great. It's unto something great. You have the answers. You already have the answers. We have the answers. We have the answers in Christ. And all that we need, we have in him. So you carry the treasures of heaven. We don't lack for anything. The Bible says we lack for nothing. We don't lack wisdom. We don't lack what we need. We have it. It's in Christ. We carry his treasures. How we live our lives is so important. That's why I started off by saying you are in an apostolic house. Sometimes you got to remind yourself the type of a house you're in. Why? Because there is a greater calling and there's a greater expectation. What we're going to get into here tonight, you're going to understand a little bit more why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because we are called men and women of God. We are called to stand strong in the midst of some horrible decisions happening all around you. In the midst of difficulties all around you. We are called to stand strong and to carry the gospel, even when it looks like some are walking in a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Let the discernment rise within each and every one of us. Matthew 7, I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. We, and I'm saying this prophetically, speaking this authoritatively over all of our lives, we will be like those who walk through the narrow gate, and even though difficult is the way, but yet it leads to life, and though few find it, we will be a part of that few. You will be a part of that few. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you will be a part of that few. Turn to somebody else and tell them as well, you will be a part of that few. We are not going to be alarmed when we see and hear all about, all around us, horrific life choices being made, and then people praising and acting like everything is okay. And people, Christians, that should know a whole lot better and yet are acting like they are completely, well, because they are deceived. It's a deception. It's a complete deception. There is a right way. And there's a wrong way. We're going to be people that are going to walk according to the standards of God. God is so loving and God is so kind, but God is also just. There is a right way, the righteous way. There is a right way. You cannot say something is of God when it isn't, but many do. Many do. Many will say something is of God when you know deep down in your spirit, this is not godly. This is not of God. But people like to act a certain way because it's easily acceptable for the masses. It's accepted. People want to hear certain things. People don't like to hear difficult messages. They don't like to be told that narrow is the way and few find it. But that's what the Word of God says, isn't it? It's what the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to live by the Word of God. We will not be deceived. We're gonna make sure our lives have the nature, the character, and the fruit of Christ. It's the only way to live, the only right way to live. Because the bottom line, church, is we're not fooling God. We don't fool Him. We want to please God. We want to make sure that every day we search our own hearts. Every day we make sure that we are centered on the Word, not our emotions, and not what somebody tells you that may be completely off and not even centered on Christ. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They're out there. They're still out there. They'll always be out there because there's nothing new under the sun. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Every good tree. And so we're going to be trees of righteousness, planted by streams of water, who bear fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever we do shall prosper. God will prosper it. That's why. It's such a blessing to live righteously under the Lord. Not self-righteously, but to live righteously. To live according to His Word. To live according to God's Word. Amen? When something happens in your life, and you might say, well, I'm not really sure what this is. I'm questioning what's going on. Don't just automatically think it's the blessing of God. Search your lives, your heart, your actions, your motives, your decisions. There are some times, and there's something recently that just took place too. And if you're on social media, you would know what I'm talking about. But untimely deaths, and then people start to say, oh, you lived your life, it was full, you shared the gospel, and you did what you were called to do, and you ran your race, and you ran it well. Well done, good and faithful servant. But you know what? That was not my response. My response was quite the opposite. We need to judge fruit. We need to be people that say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Was this a judgment from God? You know, the church needs to talk about the fact that sometimes things that happen are judgments, and they come from God. God wants a healthy church. He wants a clean church. He wants a church that's spotless and pure. He wants a church that recognizes you can't live however you want to live, make decisions that are completely unbiblical, and think that there's not going to be a judgment that comes along with it. I'm not saying this to make anybody feel bad. I'm saying this so that we all remember we're called to be an apostolic house. We're called to be a house, a prophetic apostolic house. Then we better take that seriously. And don't get sloppy. And don't get into this, oh, well, God's going to be fine. He accepts it all. He's good. God is good, but He's also just. And we got to remember this. I don't want to face one day when I wake up, go into, see Him face to face and hear the words I thought I would never hear. And I don't live in fear. I live fully in faith, believing that I'm going to hear those words, well done. And I hope that you do too. But at the same time, we have to be people that recognize, don't jump on that boat. Don't jump on that wagon. Don't jump on where people are like, oh, it's so good. And when you know, they were filled with sin. Their lives were marked by sin. If nothing else, zip it. Don't add to the confusion. Don't add to the mixture. In other words, if you're going to say something to encourage somebody, make sure that it's truly of God and not flattery and not just because it's the quote-unquote right thing to do. What right thing? You mean what people want? You mean a man-pleaser? Because we're supposed to be God-fearers. We're supposed to fear God. We're supposed to please not man, but God, right? So if you can't say anything good from your own conscience, it's not going to, then don't say it. Saying nothing is also good. Just, my point here is, don't add to the confusion. Because people look at your responses, even online, and they go, oh, well, if they thought that this person's untimely death was just the end of her life, and she ran her race and ran it well, then it must have been because so-and-so is saying it, and so-and-so is saying it, and so-and-so is saying it. Uh-uh. I don't buy it at all. There was sin in the camp. There was sin in the camp. And you know what? God is not just loving, he is, but he's still right, and he's still just. And we need to be remembered, we need to be reminded, I mean, of that, and say, you know what? Narrow is the gate, and few find it. But we're going to be part of that remnant. We're going to be part of that few, but it's a decision. It's a decision. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. How do we do this? By saying, oh, God, search my heart moment by moment. I want to be found pleasing in your sight. I know some of you know what I'm talking about, and I'm pretty sure some of you don't. It doesn't really matter, because the bottom line is this. We want to live righteously. We don't want to partner with someone saying something is of God when you know in your spirit it's not. Sometimes you just need to be quiet and don't add to what I'm saying creates confusion, because it does. And it waters down truth. And then people think that they can too live however, because God will understand. Come on, church. God has not changed, and he will not be mocked, right? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. I've got the Amplified here, but it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Hey, and I'm not talking about committed believers just because you've got a camera in front of you and a mic in your hand. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when there are no cameras on, there is no mic in your hand, you're not leading anybody, you're unseen, you're by yourself. Live that committed life then, because they're the opposite. There's so much of that happening. Only in the public light. It looks good, but it's not. Two different lives going on. God's not, he's not mocked, he's not fooled. So the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we are called to examine ourselves. We are called to examine ourselves. It's a good thing to examine ourselves. There's such beauty, there's such freedom when we examine ourselves and we say, Lord, even the things I'm unaware of, show me. Because as you show me the things that I am unaware of, and all of a sudden I have a conviction, I start to pray, I repent, I renounce, and I get my life right. And guess what happens? There's fruit that starts to abound. God literally adds fruit to your account. He actually adds the blessing and the promises starts to flow. They start to flow. It's beautiful. And the most important thing is you know you please God. We get to please God. How do we do this? By living a life that's yielded to him. So yielded to him that we will not be separated from the vine, that we literally, that is our decision. Lord, every day I want to eat from your word. I want to live from your word. I don't want to be separated. If there's anything at all that has a pull on my spirit, anything at all that has if there's a bent in me to go a certain way, then Lord, identify it, show me it, because I don't want it. I want to be, the only pull is the pull that leads me to Christ. The only bent is the bent that's like, I'm going to be bowed down worshiping my King. I want to worship him. I want to praise him because he's worth it all. And it has nothing to do with popularity. Has nothing to do with likes. It has nothing to do with big churches. Has everything to do with, is your life surrendered to him? And will you live a life that's pleasing? Will he say it's pleasing? Not will man say it's pleasing. Because there's a lot of people that are saying, it's pleasing. It's, your life was pleasing. I don't know. Not from what I see. I can't judge a heart. Only God knows. But I can judge fruit. And we're called to judge fruit. A lot of mixture. What I see is mixture. But God's looking for a church that's so on fire. And the only kind of fire is going to be the fire that comes from the pure, surrendered vessel that says, God, you are more than enough. You're more than enough. I don't need all this other stuff. I just want you. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, Lord, teach us to be people to do your will every moment of every day. We want to be people that do your will. We don't want to be so concerned and consumed with any other opinion other than your own, God's, his, right? His will.
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done many wonders in your name? And they have. They have. Which is why you can't look at somebody in their gifting and say, well, for sure they're saved. Oh, for sure. Look at the gifts. Look at the gifts flowing. Look at the anointing on their life. You can't look at that person's life and say, well, because I see a lot of gifts flowing, I see so much anointing flowing, for sure they're saved and for sure they're going in. You can't. We just read it. We know that there are there are wolves in sheep's clothing, right? In sheep's clothing. So it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. And that's like the most worst thing you could ever hear. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He actually calls it lawlessness, which is rebellion. That's rebellion. And this message is so important because we want to center our lives and say, Lord, I thank you for every moment that you've given me that I can praise you and worship you and live right and honor you in obedience. I thank you. And if I'm the only one, which I'm not, you're not, but if we were to be, if I am the only one to follow after your will, then that would be enough for me. I don't need a whole big group of people. I have Jesus. You have Jesus. But we do know that he has his remnant. I believe part of the remnant is right here sitting in this room. It's a delight for me to come and bring the word of God to you because I know you're hungry. I know your lives are separated for him. I know for most of you, I know your lives, and I know that you're yielded to the Lord. Even, you know, because I know some of you right now what you're thinking, but even for those that are thinking right now, oh yeah, but I just messed up, I had an attitude or this or that, like even the mistakes that we all make, they're under the blood. We pray, we repent, we get it right. Say, Lord, thank you for the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. Thank you, Lord. He's so merciful. Oh, he's looking for a teachable heart, though. But you're teachable. And that's the most important thing. You're not bent to do your own will. You're bent over to worship him. Literally, like when I first started the ministry, and the Lord gave me this picture of this wheat field, and I saw these, just a beautiful, big mass of wheat, and the wind was blowing. And the wheat was so beautiful because it was all because of the wind blowing. It was all just bowed. It looked like it was all bowing down, right? All in the same direction, in one direction. And I knew that that symbolized the many people, their lives that would be affected by this ministry, that it would be a worship unto the Lord. The bowing down was a bodily posture which represented what God has done within the heart. And everyone was bowed down, the wheat, but there were symbolized people, bowing down as the wind of the Spirit just blew across all of that wheat, all of those people. And it's a beautiful picture, and I've not forgotten that picture because it spoke to me of the fruit that was going to come about from this ministry. And I can testify that that is what God has done. Look around. look around at the people that call this church their home and look at their lives, committed, sold out. Not perfect, only God is perfect, but even in the mistakes, they get it right. Why? Because we repent. Quick to repent. Quick to repent. And God loves that. He's like, that's good. I can teach you a heart. That's good. That's good. But look at what the Lord has done. Vessels that are yielded. Yielded unto him. Unto Jesus. But what we're reading tonight is quite the opposite, isn't it? What we're reading tonight is some scriptures that, like, they show you just like, he's not messing around. He's not messing around. And we all know people that if they were to read this, they would classify in this category. And that to me, is quite scary. Causes me to just want to pray. Causes me to just want to pray for them, for their eyes to be opened. So that scales fall down. So that they don't continue in deception. Because deception is just like that. A little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Pretty soon they're so deceived, they don't even know which end is up. It's not good. It's a spirit. It becomes a spirit on people. After a while, it becomes like it's a demonic spirit that like plagues their minds, their hearts. Then they become very hard. Their hearts become hard. But God. And we pray and we stand and we pray. But lawlessness at the end of verse 23, lawlessness. And that is that rebellion. But I don't think so. Not for us and not for the people that we will stand and pray and intercede. So let's keep going on verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears, are we hearing tonight? We need to be hearing. We need to hear the promises of God, but we also need to hear the severity that of how he wants us to walk in truth. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. We're going to be hearers and doers. He says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And we build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. It says, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And I don't care how many battles you find yourself in. I don't care how much opposition, how much warfare. If your house is built on the rock, you will not cave in. If your house, if your lives are built on the truth, and you are sold out for Christ, I don't care how many hardships come your way, you will not cave in because you're committed. Because you're committed to him. Because your dependency is not in yourselves. It's on Christ. And so therefore, you don't measure your success by, well, how much warfare is coming my way, or is it finally the time of blessing? It's not even something that's on your radar. You just know that you're a soldier, you're a vessel of God, and you're going to worship and you're going to praise him. You're going to bind the devil, but you're going to live right. We're going to live right. Amen. But everyone who hears, verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat down on that house and it fell because it was built on the sand. And great was its fall. And I feel like that's where we are in our, you know, churches, Christianity. You've got many that are built on the sand. It's not okay. It looks okay at first for a while. It looks the same for a while. You got the house built on the sand. You got the house built on the rock. And the only time you really can tell the difference is when the wind starts to flow. It's when the violent, you know, storms start to come in. It's when you're tempted. It's when people you trust say, oh, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you listen to the wrong voice. You listen to them. Why? Because you trusted them because they were your friend or they were your spouse or they were your pastor or they were somebody that you just esteemed. But you forgot that the word of God must come first. Not second, not third, but first, right? So we live our lives and we build our lives on the rock. And we make sure that no matter who we're surrounded with, no matter what they're doing, professing to be Christ, but they became as fools, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying, no matter what decisions they're making, we will make sure our lives please God. But that is a decision. That is a decision that's made before. Daniel made that decision before he was ever taken into captivity. Way before he was ever called to be in the king's quarters, way before he was ever even asked to step in and do these things, that he was going to remain pure. He made that decision to remain pure in the midst of compromise. In the midst of compromise. But same with us. In the midst of so much compromise, we say, no, let our mouths, let our lives, let our wills be used to please, honor, edify the word of truth. We will not bring shame to our Father. We will not. Amen. We've made that decision that, Lord, if at any moment, any moment at all, you show us. Bible says, be careful when you're going to stand because you're going to fall. Yeah, but when we're careful and yielded, you will never fall. He will strengthen you and he will lift you up. God knows your hearts. He knows your decisions. He knows the word before it's even spoken out of your mouths. He knows what he has built in you. He knows your future. He knows what you're called to do. He's equipped you with far more than what you see today. Do you believe that? To believe that God has equipped you with so much more than what you see today. We believe God is a good God. We believe he's just. We know that. But we believe God is a good God. And we also know that when we live our lives yielded and surrendered to him, the blessings, they overwhelm us. They overtake us. But even if they didn't, we're still going to worship him. We're still going to praise him. Even if it takes a long time to see answers to your prayers, we're still going to worship. We're still going to praise. We're going to praise as if the answer is right here in front of my face. Right here, I see it. We see it in our mind's eye. We see it in our spirit. We have faith for it. By faith. Yes, by faith. We see it by faith. We're going to praise him all the way through. And we also have to live lives so solidified that even if we never see the promise, and that's not a lack of faith. I know I'll see the promises of God, every one of them. But even if I didn't, oh, hear me, church, because I firmly believe this, and I am full of faith. Trust me, I have no doubt. But even if I didn't see the fullness of what I'm believing for, I will worship my King in the fullness of faith, glorifying him because he is worth it all. Never, ever, ever will I doubt that. Never. God took me into the future one time and showed me something. And I don't really want to get into the details, but he showed me something that I'm believing God for. And he took me into the future and he showed me something that didn't work out. But you know what I saw? He showed me my response. But with tears rolling down my face, I was rejoicing in God. I was rejoicing and I was literally dancing. Why? Because I know he's good no matter what. So sometimes, and I believe that's not, oh gosh, that's not a good thing. No, not at all. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be committed to Christ no matter what. It's a great thing to have your faith so solidified no matter what. It's a great thing to know that you are so committed to Jesus, and it's not about the outcome. If the outcome is good, then yes. And if it's not, then no. Well, that's not Christianity. Not true Christianity anyway. He gave his all. Jesus gave his all for us. He laid his life down for us. We already have all. Anything else we receive on this side of heaven is just surplus. It's just the blessing. It's the icing on the cake. It's the extra. And we are grateful. And we believe for lots of extra. And we get lots of extra. Lots of icing for those that like frosting. And I believe God is good in that way. I do. Nevertheless, I'm satisfied. I'm grateful. I'm content. Are you? We're content. And I know that he's called us to be the remnant. And I believe that we're going to carry that baton well. And I also believe that many that are watching our lives are being blessed at the strength that God has given us, not our own. It's the strength he's given us because we kept our faces before him like flint and only say what he calls you to say. Only act, speak, do, go where he's called you to. And like I said before, don't jump on that bandwagon just because it's the Christianese thing to do and start giving false hope. Speak truth. Be truth speakers and truth seekers. And don't give compromise, which leads to deception. Be people that understand lives are at stake, eternity is at stake. And you, as apostolic prophetic people, know that there is a weight that you carry that is greater than maybe you even realize. Than maybe you even realize. Lives. So Lord, use us as vessels of honor that we recognize what we say yes to and what we say no to carries weight. People are watching. People are seeing. And they want to know, well, if they're saying this, if they're doing this, then it must be good. Make sure it's good. Make sure it's good.